Hey, I'm filmmaker Patrick Willems, and you're listening to the M of One podcast. You can find me at youtube.com/Patrick H. Willems.
Welcome to this Sandbox episode of the Master of One podcast, part two for this week. This week, we talked to creative pastor from Las Vegas and owner and operator of Disney Cartel, David Cowan. I'm Andrew, your master of art and design.
I'm Patrick, your master of television and film.
And I'm Luke, your master of toys and games.
So get ready to capture the happiest place on Earth, because it's time to get going.
But I don't have any film.
For this Sandbox episode, we're excited to talk to somebody who we've had on the show before for the hot seat. We've met a couple times. He's a good friend of ours, a super talented dude. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome creative pastor in Las Vegas and the owner and operator of Disney Cartel. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome David Cowan to the show.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Good to have you, man.
It's so nice to see you again.
It's good to see you.
We didn't have to wait a year for it to happen again.
Yeah. Right. That's true. It was every October, get to hang out or whenever that was. I think it was October.
Yeah, something like that.
About right.
Who can know for sure? Time is but a fleeting thing. So tell everybody who you are. Get everybody up to speed with who you are. Give us the Wikipedia page about who David Cowan is and what you're doing.
Sweet. So my name is David Cowan. As you said, I'm creative arts pastor of a church called The Crossing, a Christian church in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am, a church planter of three, a father of two, and a husband of one. I married my high school sweetheart way back in the day. Her name's Kimmy. Dated 5 years before marriage, and then been married about 23. So it's been a long time.
A minute.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You barely look old enough to have.
Thank you. Yeah. It's because of an infinity stone that I have.
We have to stay away from it.
This entire
conversation will just turn into that. We have to protect it.
Yeah, we must protect Thanos demands our silence.
We must.
So we got to know you, like Patrick alluded to, we got to know you 2 years ago at Reimagine.
Yep.
You were just attending the conference and pulling from it. And then last year, we brought you back as the photographer because you are an incredible photographer. And I want to talk about several things about those trips while we're dialoguing. But first and foremost, I want you to tell people about your love of photography and how that bridged into your love of Disney.
Wow, it is no secret that I love photography. I carry a Canon Mark IV with me everywhere. And I don't know exactly how it all started back many, many years ago. For our wedding anniversary, for our wedding gift, my mom gave me an old Canon. This was back in the film days, and took it on our honeymoon and took some photos. You know, we were in Florida, and this is pre-Disney days. I hadn't even been to Disney until I was like 30. So
what?
Yeah,
I'm excited to talk about that.
To be fair, that's literally my story.
But you don't run anything called Disney Cartel.
Yeah, you're not creative.
It's funny how it all worked, but Disney was not even on the radar. So we honeymooned in St. Augustine and Amelia Island, kind of on the east side of
Amelia Island. Florida. Is beautiful. That's where that it matters. You don't care about this. My family, we used to go to Amelia Island every year growing up that was the place we went.
You said Amelia Island. You said Amelia Island.
We pronounce it Amelia Island.
No. It's a million islands.
Yeah, basically. So I took a camera with me there, and then once we got married, about 8 months in, very quick, we went to New Orleans for me to go to seminary. So living in New Orleans, that's a very picturesque place. Took all kinds of pictures, you know, in the French Quarter, things like that. But then I kind of got away from that. I started going into video, 1997, I started incorporating video in the ministry I was doing there, and that got incorporated also with Church Plant. And so there was a period where it started with photography, and then it kind of went video, storytelling, capturing stories. But then about 2012, I got into DSLR photography, video, and then it was like, man, I really like just taking photos again. I forgot how awesome it is to just, I don't know, capture a moment. Because like with the video, there's also so much work. If anyone's familiar with video work, it's like ridiculous. Because and everyone's like, hey, we want to do something creative. Let's do a video. And you know, a little part of every videographer's heart dies. Because you know how much work that is. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just a part of the process. It takes a lot of work. Well, what's great about photography is that you get that instantaneous moment where something's captured. And it is really true that a picture has, you know, it's 1,000 words. Like you can take a picture of something and there's just something about capturing a moment of time. And so that started to get applied into Disney, because that was like, that was a big deal for me. So going to my first time into the parks, I had a pretty rough childhood. I mean, a lot of people do, you know, but we never really went to Disney. Never had like family vacations quite like that. And at one point, my mom, who was doing a lot better financially, had a great job with a big company. She was able to kind of bless our family. And so in 2004, she took us to Disney World. And so our kids were really small. Like Elizabeth, I think, wasn't even 3 yet. She was like a week before being 3, which was great because that meant she was free. Mm-hmm. And we know that comes rare with Disney, anything free. So we went to Disney World in 2004. I had this little itty bitty digital Elf Canon camera. So I was taking some still shots. And so that was kind of the beginning, but not really. And took some pictures. And what was awesome about it is we would literally watch this video all the time of this compilation of photos that we put together with music. And then we went again in 2007. And we went again in 2010. But never with...
Sorry, the Canon Elf, is this the one that Ashton Kutcher was pushing at the time? Is that why you bought it? Because you saw the ad with Ashton Kutcher and just... Like, no, you contain yourself. At the time and...
No, I can honestly say Ashton Kutcher had nothing to do with the beginning of Disney Cartel. However, that Canon Elf sure did, in the sense that it was a way to kind of capture things. But once I kind of got the DSLR thing, and then I'm like, once Disney kind of became a part of like our family experience, those two came together for our kind of our last trip to Disney World, actually, as a family, was 2013. Uh-huh. And so I started capturing some on a Mark III Canon at the time. And I had thousands of photos. We were there for 10 days. And I took probably 1,000 photos every day.
Yikes.
Golly.
And so from those, I began
to kind of processing those.
Yeah. Boy. And this was pre Lightroom for me, not knowing how organize photos. But what I began to do is realize, like, if I post all these to my regular Instagram, I'm going to lose all of my friends because though they may like really like Disney like me, they're not crazy about it like me. So I came up with the idea, why don't I just start something to give people a little taste of Disney every day. And so I started to kind of compile those photos and post a photo a day. And so that's kind of how that all started.
So just based on that story, you strike me as someone that loves gear.
Yes.
I mean, like, I love
that response.
Yes. It just feels like everything, there's like that separation, like the gear nuts and the non-gear nuts. Like I play drums.
I do too.
I'll hit anything and I don't care what it is. And I don't know. But then you have the other people that are like they want to talk to you for 30 minutes about the bearing edge that's on it and what degree it's at. And like this wood and why I went with 9 plies instead of 10 plies. And
right.
It's just, we're made differently.
Why you use certain cymbals, certain drum heads. Yes. I'm a drummer as well. We could talk about that forever as well.
I try not to, because I don't like the gear nut mentality. I don't know why that never got me. But what attracts you to, like, do you just want to, like, really deeply understand that? Like, is it just a learning bug that you have, or?
I think it's more of just the tools, you know, because it's like, it's not about the gear. Once you kind of get through that, it's really like, what tools can I use to capture these things, capture stories. So like for videos, in the church context, I use a Canon 1DX Mark II, shoots 60 frames a second, 4K. It's amazing footage. For the money, it's incredible. And I researched for a long time, was I going to go Sony? A lot of people were jumping ship from Canon. I decided to stay with it until I got that camera, and I'm so glad I waited. But when it comes to, you know, photography, it's kind of the same deal. It's the technology is getting to where, like, I love the Canon Mark IV because I can use the back screen and do touch focus. So I can frame the shot without even having to put my head up to the camera. Okay. I can frame it, tap it, boom, got it. It's great. So I don't know. I think it's just more about the tools to do what you want to accomplish, you know?
One thing that stands out to me, so tools aside, one thing that stands out to me is the idea of the photo versus the video, and the thing I think I took away from it is that when you just have the one shot, you get to infer so much. Like, right. you get to assign, like, and your mind gets to wander about all
you
the
become
the
a context. Part of the storytelling.
Yes, correct. You get to, like, fill in the gaps where the video is trying to do that for you to a degree. Yep. And I never considered in that light before, but I think that's a really cool thought.
Yeah, it's kind of like a photo is kind of like the poetry of storytelling, in the sense that poem could mean, or like a song, it can mean anything to anyone. You know, even the one who wrote it, the meaning can mean so many different things to so many people. When you're capturing a story on video, it can only really mean one thing. It's what you put it together to be. But that is one of the beauties of photography.
So let me before we jump into Disney stuff, maybe a little bit heavier, you said something that intrigues me, because I'm not a photographer. I don't even claim to be. I shoot stuff with my camera or my phone because I have it and I like to post things on Instagram, but I'm not good.
Whatever. You're great.
No, I'm really not good at photography. No, you don't have to flatter me. I know where I stand. But the idea of with a movie, there's really only one story to tell.
Yeah.
We're getting ready. After we're done recording this, we're gonna break down a film that we all just saw together, right? And I think every time we sit down to talk about a film and we break it down, each of us pulls from it something different. And lots of times we always have to try to infer what the director was trying to say. And then sometimes someone brings up the idea that maybe the director was intending to leave it open-ended. What's your feeling about if that's even a possibility, a reality, or where and how that fits into the idea of storytelling through film?
I think it does apply. Like what I said was kind of an overgeneralization, because meaning can come out in so many different ways. You know, so it's interesting in our home, we have two kids. So Joshua, who's 20, will be 20 in June. And my daughter, who turned 17, this month, both of them are film students. And so film's a big deal in our home. So, you know, photography is something I love, but storytelling is a passion of mine. Just like photography. It's just that I'm drawn more to photography. But in our home, we break down stuff all the time. We're like that family. You don't want to take
never it ending.
Yeah, it really is
all the time.
Like, I'll put it to you this way. My son, he's a big sports guy too. So, but we literally created a brackets, like, cause we had March Madness, a brackets of the best film of all time. And so he, like, literally put it out with, like, IMDb, the scores, to whittle down what was the best. So we get into the minutiae of film a lot, and the meaning of film a lot. And so I do think it is an overgeneralization to say there's only one story to tell with a film or a story. There are those, you know, meanings and things that can come out if it's a really good story. I would say it's actually richer if you can take multiple thoughts or take away different things. If you see a movie like that, that's greatness. If it's very, so buttoned up, there's only one way to take it. It's probably a weak story.
So do you think the idea of story is what has attracted you so deeply to Disney?
Yeah, probably. I'm sure it is. It's more than that, but story has a huge part of that. So even though I hadn't been at the parks, till I was in my 30s, obviously Disney stories had always impacted me, but I think there was something about the magic, if you will, of being able to step into that story. And I think that's where the parks just kind of take things, I hate this phrase, but takes things to a whole other level, because you're actually immersed into that story. And so taking things even further to the attractions that they do, that there's a story that goes into the attraction. I mean, that's just kind of next level stuff that a lot of theme parks never really quite got a hold of, or Disney had it instantly. So like if you were to watch, like, and this is very true for if you've been to DCA, California Adventure, what they did with the Tower of Terror. So the Tower of Terror, people were freaking out that they were changing it. Right. And I'm really glad that it's still in Walt Disney World. Hopefully it will stay. But when they morphed it into a Guardians of the Galaxy ride, what was great about that actually is that the story continues through the ride, and that's not giving it away. When you do Tower of Terror, they would do the setup, they would tell you the story, and then they would jerk you around and you get right. sick. You either loved it or hated it. And then you go off the ride and you're like, wow, that was cool. What's great about the new interpretation or the new ride is that the story continues through the ride. And I think that's what makes that genius. And that's what Disney does really well,
When you're going into the parks, right? So whether you're going as a family or you're going as an individual,
right?
What is it that you? So we should say you now. So Disney Cartel, tell. I mean, we should maybe start with what is Disney Cartel, right?
Right. So Disney Cartel is an Instagram account that I started, and basically my tagline is for the addictive side of Disney. I want to make sure that those of us that are addicted to it, it's the idea that I'm kind of like a cartel dishing out some Disney goodness for people. That's kind of the
first
concept.
Taste is free.
Yes. But after that, but it's crazy because it's kind of turned into a phenomenon of that's a ridiculous word, but I have attracted
a huge
following.
Call yourself a phenomenon. We're not going to call you out. So you're welcome to.
Well, it's funny though. There's some guys in the community like Disney Nuts. That guy, I look forward to meeting that guy. I think he has like 177,000 followers, something like that. There's a few others in the community that are far beyond me as far as like followership. But I think what I've tried to do that's a little different is I really try to engage with the people. So to me, it really is a community. And, yeah. And so like, I really do. So some guys will follow, or they'll have 30,000 like me, and they'll only follow like 100 people. And to me, that's, and I see this in ministry too, since I'm a minister, that stuff drives me batty. It's like, if there really should be a community of communities, it's the church. And so I really try to apply that same kind of mentality of the church when it comes to Disney Cartel, that all are welcome. And so unfortunately with, Instagram, you can only follow like 7,500 people. And at some point they cap it off. What I do is, folks that disengage or have never liked a post or have never really engaged like with a comment, I will eventually unfollow them, but it takes like 6 months. I give people, an opportunity. And if anyone unfollows, I will unfollow just so I can create more space for people who really want to engage. So that's kind of my process with that. And so right now I'm following like 7,000 people. And anytime I go to the parks, I try to engage people. I'd love to get photos with them because I want my platform or whatever, God has blessed me with Disney Cartel. I want to be a platform for other people as well. And so that's what I try to do with the account.
But ultimately it's a celebration of Disney.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. So it brings us together.
Yeah, man. So when you're going into the park and when you're like, when you're going on a trip for Cartel to get pictures, do you have a story like that you're trying to tell? And is that dictate the pictures you're taking, or are you just looking for those moments and then weaving a story after?
Yeah. What I'll do. Yeah. I wish I could. I mean, that might take it to the next level. It's a good idea of just going in there to capture a story. But so far it's been like, just going to get the best photos I can, meet anybody in the community I can. And then what I try to do is engage people with questions. So I'll, ask people like today to pull it out. But I think it was, what do you feel like when you walk through a Disney castle? Mm. You know, what are the feelings that you're feeling? So that's another thing I try to do, is just help people to kind of be there, even if they can't be. With a photo, to get them thinking about the emotions of it, because each person has a story, their own story with that. Sure. And that's where those feelings come from. So,
man, I look at, we talked about this. If you're a longtime listener of the show 2 years ago, if you're newer to the show, I'll kind of do a quick recap. We interviewed you, at Reimagine the first year. That year, Adam Grayson was one of the speakers. Adam Grayson, if you're into Disney anything, you gotta know him. Adam Grayson is, right?
Yeah.
He has a very unique style, he did a lot of work, freelance work with Disney for a long time. Well, he was speaking at Reimagine, and we found out that some of his work was being featured at the park, like in a big, big way.
It was
at
California Adventure. 60th anniversary? Yeah. Diamond anniversary?
No. It was during the Diamond anniversary, but it wasn't that. It was
it was the Festival of the Holidays.
That's it.
Yeah. A California Adventure. And it took over the whole front gate. It was everywhere in the parks. And he's a Florida boy, Disney World kid, had never been to Disneyland. And we're chatting with you, and lo and behold, you're like, hey, I have a contact who can get us into Disneyland. If you'd want to go. And he about fell on the floor, right?
Yeah.
Fast track, long story short, I was able to go with you and Adam Grayson and our friend Mark to experience Adam Grayson looking at his own artwork for the very first time at Disneyland. Featured in a huge, huge way. And you documented the whole thing. And it was such a special moment it'll live forever in my head. Because Adam Grayson is an artist I tremendously respect. Disney is obviously near and dear to my heart. Right. It was so awesome to be able to have somebody there who didn't just care about being at the parks, but cared about capturing a story.
Yeah.
And you did that. And that was so, so cool. From that moment, from that conversation, you've had some pretty cool opportunities with Disney since then. Why don't you fill us in on what those are?
Man, you know, that moment, just real quick, seriously, was one of the top for my experiences with Disney Cartel. I mean, Adam, seriously, just to echo everything he said, like, if you don't follow him, find him on Instagram. His artwork's incredible. He's
took me this long to find it. I'm showing him.
Yeah, the photo.
There's the photo right there.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And you know what? They used it this last year as well. And I sent him a picture. I was like, hey, Adam, they're still using your art, which is cool. I'll tell you what's been amazing. You know, I talk about the Disney community. Through my account and through just relationships that have been developed, I've become friends with several Club 33 members. Yeah. And one of them is my good friend Jamie, and I had posted a photo that I of some trip I had been to Club 33, and again I asked some question. I don't remember exactly what it was, but someone posted. They were like, it was someone from the Seattle area that it was like, that's like their bucket list thing. Like they want to go to the Club 33 so bad, but they didn't have a contact. Well, Jamie follows my account as I follow hers. And she messaged me and she was like, I want to get this girl in the Club 33. And so this actually happened, I think about a month ago.
Nice.
This particular lady, came down, again to Disneyland. She coordinated with Jamie and as Jamie's guest, she was able to go to Club 33. And I mean, that stuff just, it thrills my heart because here's the thing. Like, I'm a pastor. I if I were in the secular world, I could make probably triple what I make, you know, as a minister. But that's not why I do what I do. Yeah. And my wife actually has put a kibosh on all Disney spending. So, so anytime I get to the park has been, through someone helping in some way. And so, I have very limited means or resources to do those kind of blessings. And yet God still manages to do that through this platform that I attribute to him. He's created that's kind of being an opportunity for other people to have those kind of Disney like moments. And so that's probably the most recent that stands out. There have been others, but like, you know, the fact that, Jamie's willing to, you know, see that and really bless someone else. And because of the account, it's just really cool. It's just really cool.
So before the episode started, we talked briefly about, and it looked very broadly, the idea of creative process and that being a very important thing to you. So I want you to unpack that a bit. What draws you to that subject? And what are your big thoughts about the importance of that or how to approach it?
Well, I feel like there's this misnomer in society that creative process and creativity is just for creatives. Like somehow, you know, if you dress like really
professional
cool,
creative,
yeah, like that creativity is just for that group of people over there, and I'm not that, or something like that. And what I've found is that's really not true. The creative process is really there for everybody, and if I can borrow. Beg and steal from, you know, other greats that have talked or written about creativity, like Creativity Inc., great book. Catmull talks about how really creativity is just taking two things that were not together and putting them together. That's kind of the core of creativity. And honestly, I feel like, you know, cracking that code a little bit is kind of the key to great decision-making, great leadership, you know, forging ahead when you don't quite know where to go. Is kind of finding what I call the third way. You know, there's a very clear this path or that path, and then there's like a third way that kind of cuts through. And I feel like the creative process is just something that, you know, we do it every week as a creative arts pastor at The Crossing. We're developing content every single week, 52 weeks of the year, big time for, you know, Christmas and Easter, mm-hmm. for a crowd of 5,000 people and thousand some that watch online every week. And it's like, you know, how do you do that? Well, you have to have a process, and you have to have discipline, and you got to have systems that help you get there. It doesn't just come to you. You know, it's not like, oh, a light bulb, oh, now I'm creative. And that's just not how it works. There is a process. So that's kind of why
unless you're Thomas Edison.
Correct. If you actually have a light bulb, because
he created the light bulb is why.
That would be the exception. But yeah, like it's just one of those things that, that I am passionate about because I genuinely believe that, this process is really helpful for any organization, for any group. And we've created some systems over the last 6 years that I believe are transferable to organizations of any size, any kind of, you know, group. So that's kind of why I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to hear what some of those are.
What some of the processes are?
Yeah, just maybe give us one or two.
Okay, definitely. One of the things we developed is what we call 2-4-6. We want to make sure that we're planning out at least 6 weeks in advance. And so weeks 5 and 6, we put them on a big sheet of paper, and we kind of give it the color red, that it's something we know it's coming, we see it in the future, and we're kind of doing some brainstorming at that point of like what would be the best way to tackle that. Weeks 3 and 4, we label yellow. These are we have a little bit more of an idea what we're doing. We're putting a bit more meat to the bones, whereas 5 and 6 are kind of the bones. We're putting a little bit more meat to it, but then we're also scheduling and planning. You know, if we have a video we need to shoot, we're making sure we get that in, schedule that. Weeks 1 and 2 are green. Those are like immediate. So week 1 obviously is coming that Sunday. Week 2 is the week right after. And so having that, we've kind of created this creative pipeline, if you will, where we know what's coming. We make sure that our systems are in place. And by revisiting that every week, we're staying on top of it. Because here's what we found the more you stay on top of it, the more time you actually have for that last minute aha moment.
Sure.
Because if you didn't prep for it, you don't have time for it. Because how many times you've had this, you're like, man, if we had only thought of this, well, this creative process actually helps you create this space to have that moment and be able to throw that in. So we will do that from time to time. Yeah, week one, we'll have this realization, man, we can, this would be awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll take that week to apply it. So that's kind of like a big example.
Yeah, that's something that, so outside of the church world, outside of like the service planning world, you can still apply that. Just look at how that effectively applies to your situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me transition this into finals so that awesome. We can keep this bite-sized for everybody and be respectful of your time. I want to talk about a project that you did. Like we said, you take photos and you take tons of photos of Disney and you're posting them all the time. Yeah. Somebody reached out to you and asked your permission to do a couple of really cool things. One of them is like a print job. And then one of them is working with an artist. I'm trying to be vague so you can tell the story.
You're being too vague.
I'm going to be a little bit less vague. You did something where there was like three-dimensional art created of your work. And then you did something where the Disney characters were actually integrated into your work. So maybe tell us about those projects.
Well, so I have a gentleman who attends our church, who's a great guy, and he does amazing art with metal of all things. And he actually designs furniture. So there's some stools in the studio of Black Panther in the Black Panther film that he designed.
Nice.
And so like he's great. And he actually, you know, he has some kind of connection with Disney through that. And the idea was, why don't we collaborate and take one of my photos and make it 3D? So, this has never actually been created, cause it cost a great deal to make, but the idea was that we could, take the art, take the photo and make it 3D and make it like an art piece for a home. Yeah. There was another artist, his name's Rex. And he lives in Houston and he's an aspiring Disney artist. He's done a lot of Disney work. And we also collaborated where he took two characters and put them into kind of one of my photos of, Main Street USA at, Disney World. And it looks amazing cause it's an integration of, two forms of art. Cause that's actually, so just so you know, it's a dream of mine. I want to be a Disney artist in the sense of like an official Disney artist label. And it's really tough when you're a photographer because you're talking about one of the places most photographed in the world. Right. So how does your photography be art anymore? Like they don't sell photography in the place as art. So I'm trying to find ways where I can be unique and stand out. But here's kind of the problem I have is that I'm not an official Disney artist. The mouse is very litigious. And so I walk this really thin line and I don't really know how to break through, honestly. So if anybody's watching, that has some kind of connection or can help me with that, it's honestly something that I'm passionate about. I would love to do, but I'm not really sure of the next steps.
Sure,
so So we've got some great projects that are just kind of on hold, but you know, if we got the right contact and got the right connection, it might be something. So,
okay. So my final question, you kind of just touched on it a little bit. I was going to ask you if there was, you know, photo or video, if you had a dream project that you could do for Disney, whether it's to shoot something or film something, an old series, bring it back, or a new series or a series of photos of something, what would it be?
Man, you know, what would be so rad is to work on something similar to what Disney himself did before he passed. I think it was called World of Color, TV show. I think I don't remember exactly, but so he had these, you know, projects where he would talk about like upcoming things. Like there's a whole episode of It's a Small World.
Yeah.
And they showed that to Epcot. That's, of course, epic, you know, as he talked about the vision of Epcot. It'd be really cool to work with Disney to capture some of what they've got ahead. Because it's kind of close to vest, and I get it. You know, D23 and stuff, they'll reveal things. But I kind of miss that, you know, just the leader of all dreams, if you will, Disney Dreams, sure. You know, Walt kind of walking through their process and how they made it. Just really cool. So that would be, that'd be sweet. But I honestly, it'd be also cool to work with Disney to help capture families' stories.
Yeah.
In the park. Yep. That's something that I don't think that maybe they do that, but it'd be awesome to just kind of work with a family, especially special needs family or someone who's never been Make-A-Wish Foundation or something like that, to kind of be there to help document, kind of like what I did with Adam, to be there in that moment and to capture it, because again, that's the beauty about photography and video. You capture it so you can relive it later.
Absolutely. I love it. So here we go. This is the big one. The last question is always the most important. I want you to know that. So I am carrying the mantle of importance. He thinks
very highly of himself, by the way.
David, I need you to describe your feelings when you walk through a Disney castle.
Oh, man. I feel like I am walking in a dream, and I feel like I am, I feel inspired, because I am, this was in the head of Disney himself, and I'm walking through it. I feel like I'm out of the world out there and into a kind of a different place. And, I feel like a kid again. That's essentially what it all boils down to, is I feel like that same kid who believe they could pick up a lightsaber and take on, you know, Darth Vader a pirate or a kid from a Treasure Island, you know, like, or Tom Sawyer, like all the stories that I kind of grew up with, to be able to like be that. That's kind of the way it feels.
Man, I have so many thoughts and questions and feelings about all of the things that you do, because it integrates so many of the things that I love, which is storytelling and capturing a moment. And then of course, Disney. But all of it, I mean, whether you're doing work at church or you're doing work with for Disney Cartel, it's all about storytelling. It's just a different method and different mode. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can support you, they can follow you and do all that jazz.
Cool. So you can find me on social media anywhere, basically at DCCOWAN, Facebook.com/DC Cowan. You can also find my non-Disney photo company at DC Cowan Photo, all together one word. Same also is true on Instagram. You can find that. I started doing that this last year, DC Cowan Photo. Also Disney Cartel. You can find me there on, that's also on Facebook and Instagram. And then a new one that I've started that I haven't given much energy to is Vegas Cartel. I have a lot of, you know, photos of just being here in Vegas for 6 years, but I thought about maybe morphing that into Travel Cartel. We'll see. But for now, it's Vegas Cartel. Those are the places you can find me anytime. So,
Wait a minute, before we head out of here, before we have you draw tokens, there was a story that we didn't get to. And when you just said Vegas, it reminded me.
Okay.
Luke,
you had a question asked before we started.
I mean, we've been friends for a couple of years now, and I follow you on Instagram, and you posted, I think it was on your personal, about something that happened. I think maybe for Easter, you guys had, I don't know what it was. There was some guy on a turning wheel thing.
Oh yeah.
And it looked like he almost died.
He almost biffed it.
Talk about that story.
Okay. So it actually didn't happen in Vegas. That was Catalyst West conference.
Yep.
So that was at Mariners Church. Mm-hmm. They were like, we were at the break. They're like, hey, we have this thing at the break that's so big that we can't do it in here. So all of us are going to have to go outside. So like, you know, I don't know, it's 3,000 people plus. Yeah. So we all go outside. There's this big, you know, open grass area, and there's this, like, it looks like something out of, like, I don't know, Rag and Rock, like, it's store, huge. Something like this thing of metal that's just spinning. And as you get closer, you see there's a dude on it.
Yeah.
You're like, what? And he's like running in these like circles, like he's a hamster. And then he's like crawling out while it's spinning around. And at some point I'm like, I should probably like capture this. And that's what I do. So I pull out my phone and I put it on slow-mo, cause I'm like, maybe he'll do something cool. Well, what I caught was the guy almost dying. Glad he didn't, cause that footage was really creepy. But he like literally, he was doing jump rope on this yes. wheel that was spinning like this. And he tripped on his rope and almost like literally like lost his
it's
life.
The scare. So. It's one of the scariest things I've ever watched just because like the way it was cut, it was just yeah. like, what the heck?
What the heck? That's oh, the way 3,000 people were all feeling at the time. Yeah.
Man. Crazy.
Well, go follow David's work because then you might see something know. Unexpected. Yeah. You never know. Exactly. I mean, it's Vegas, right? So, so before you head out of here, can you do us a favor and help us draw tokens for next week? So we know what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. Well, that's it for the interview portion. Up next, we're going to draw some tokens. All right. So each week we draw our tokens to figure out exactly the categories we have the following week. And then we pick our topics based on those categories. You know how this works because you've drawn tokens before in the hot seat. You're going to digitally draw them for us. Now I have all three of them right here. I'm going to put them down face down, shuffle them up like a street carny.
All right.
Pick a number between 1 and 3 and you'll be picking 4. Patrick.
3.
You got toys and games, Patrick.
Thanks.
And then give me a number of 1 or 2 and you'll be picking 4. Luke.
1.
Yeah. TV and film.
Art and design. That means I have TV and film. Congratulations, everybody. You mixed them up, which is what we always try to do, right? Yeah. Man, thank you so much for coming on the show. You can find this the show notes and stuff on YouTube, or you can go to mf1podcast.com where you can find all the links, as well as a number of amazing other guests that we've had on in our archive. You can support the show by following us on social media. Just look up mf1podcast on all the different platforms. You can go buy something from the new shop at shop.mf1podcast.com. You can get some sweet swag with like a shirt or a hat. Patrick's wearing the hat.
Did y'all see how
yep and some people, fun pins. Y'all see
how buff Matt can draw looks, him wearing the shirt. He's like,
he looks ripped. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I was looking at M squared. You can also get a mug. I'm waiting for someone to get it. I'm gonna order a mug myself. There you go. There, everyone can see that.
There's the pin. You got to see that too.
That's awesome.
You can support the show by buying something on our shop, and you can also, you know, wear your support. That's it works on 2 different levels. You can support the show by going to Patreon, patreon.com/mf1podcast. Throw a couple dollars in the bucket each month. Helps us out a ton, and it gets you some extra fun stuff for being one of our patrons. And then join the conversation. Go to mf1podcast.com/family to join our Discord community. We are growing each and every day with more and more creatives, professionals all across the spectrum, all around the world. It is an incredible place to talk to some very talented people, get some critiques on your work, all the way to showing the newest meme and talking about movies and TV and toys and games and all that stuff. It's a great, great community. You can be in it. Just go to mf1podcast.com/family. Otherwise, I think that's everything. I don't think I lost anything, Patrick.
No, you're good.
Oh, rate and review the show. Like and subscribe to the show. All these different things. They're free. You can support the show for free by doing that. It helps us out so much. All right. We're going to get out of this one, though. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
I'm Dave.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.
Auf Wiedersehen, baby.